As we continue to look and examine ourselves prior to the Passover and the days of unleavened bread, with the fact that we understand that we are part of the body of Jesus Christ, that we're all part of the body of Jesus Christ, I'd like for us to take a look at and raise some awareness of the body of Christ, what it is and what it does. I'd like for us to look at some things for us to consider as we do prepare and asking ourselves some questions along the line, where are we in this? As we ask some of these questions, take a look at ourselves and ask ourselves some questions. How does this apply to me? How do I consider myself in light of this particular point that we're looking at? The first thing I want us to realize is we are of the household of God. We are of the household of God, and we are also of the household of faith. So let's take a look at a couple of passages, a couple of scriptures here. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. Ephesians 2:19 says, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household." How do you look at yourself when we read these verses and as we consider ourselves and looking at ourselves before the Passover? Are we part of the household of faith? Yes or no? Do we consider ourselves as part of the household of God? Yes or no? And then Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, Galatians 6 and verse 10, we read, "So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." How do we do that? Are we doing good to all people, especially those of the household of faith? We have to start at the first part of that verse. How are we treating other people, whether they're part of the body of Jesus Christ or whether they're not part of the body of Jesus Christ? How do we deal with our fellow human beings? It is part of the examination of the Passover itself that we need to be doing that. Another point that I would like for us to consider in raising this awareness of the body of Christ, we are of the family that bears God's name. Let's go back to the book of Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. It says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name." Do you consider yourself? Do I consider myself as part of the family that bears God's name? Now, that's an incredible statement when you just think about it. We all, in one sense, are bearing God's family name. And that's an important point to consider. And brethren, as we are commanded, as we just saw, we are to love one another. And I'm talking more specifically here. Yes, we're to be loving all of mankind, but we're to be specifically, I'm referring to loving one another, this part of this household of faith, part of the body of Jesus Christ. We're to be loving one another. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 16. "Act as free men and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God." Verse 17. "Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king." So it's very plain in Scripture that we are to love all of mankind. But it is also very plain in Scripture that we are instructed as brothers and sisters in Christ that we are to be showing love to one another. And so again, as we examine ourselves for Passover, do we do that? Do we do that? All human beings were created to bear not only this earthly image as we do, but we were also all created as human beings to bear the heavenly image also. Not everyone understands that at this point. So not everyone is living a lifestyle that is going to move them in that direction to be able to do that. But that is still how every human being was created. We just simply happen to know that and to understand that from scriptures that we do. That we are to be living our lives in that way. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 49. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 49. Just as we have borne the image of the earthly, we will also bear the image of the heavenly. Now we understand this. This is part of the plan of salvation. This is it's another way of stating it. But the plan of salvation is explained in this. And it starts with the Passover. We have to have a Savior. We have to have somebody that's going to pay our debt for us. And the reason is because we couldn't do it ourselves. And so we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, as our Passover. And then we move on to the days of unleavened bread. And we tend to get stuck there. And so we don't want to get stuck there. We want to move on to the rest of it. But this is what we're looking at right at the moment. And we see this, that we are to bear also the image of the heavenly. We are to be like God the Father and like Jesus Christ. We were also created and are being created, or to continue in our creation process, as it were, to conform to the image of God's Son, our Savior. Let me see that over in Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, and we'll read the verse that says that. Romans 8 and verse 29. Romans 8, 29. Romans 8, 29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus Christ, because we're part of the body of Jesus Christ, he is our elder brother. And we're to be like he is. We're to do things in the way that he would have done. We're to do things in a way, to live things in a way that he lived his life. And we need to be looking at ourselves. Are we doing that? I'd like for us to ask a few questions at this particular point, and I think that these may be some questions that we would need to seriously consider as we do look at self. One question is, do we act like brothers? We've just seen scriptures that says that we are. My question is, do we act like brothers? I have a physical, biological, same mother, same dad, brother. And I'm much closer to all of you than I am to my physical brother. He's not at this point part of the household of faith, never really has been. And that's not a put down, it's not a criticism, it's a description, it's a place. But I'm showing you that we, as part of the household of faith, we are brothers. And I am closer to probably every one of you than I am to him. Another question to consider is, do we even feel as if we are brothers? Do we think about it? Do we realize it, and what are we doing about it? Another question for us to consider is, do we realize that being a part of God's family means we have been called to a relationship with God and a relationship with His children? There is to be this relationship among ourselves, among the body of Jesus Christ. And yes, and I've made the statement already that we're to have, you know, this love for all of mankind. I'm narrowing this down today for the point of the sermon to those of the church of God, to those of the body of Jesus Christ. And so we're looking at ourselves in that way. And brethren, please also understand, being a part of God's family is not simply a spiritual metaphor. It's not. It is not an allegory, or it is not merely symbolic. It is real. And we are to treat it as real. We are to think about it as being real. And we are to live our lives in a way demonstrating that it is real. That we are a family. We are a family. And as a living, active part of the family, we have responsibilities and we have accountabilities. We are responsible to one another, and we also are accountable to one another, being part of the same family. Do we even know what those are? Well, I'd like to take a look at a few. Let's look at a few of these. This is not all of it, but this is a few of it, so you at least get the point of what I'm dealing with, what I'm meaning here. As part of God's family, we are required to take up God's agenda. It's another way of saying His will. What is the will of God? That's what we're to live by. That's what we're to take up. Another one is we progress to the place where we delight to do God's will versus doing our own will. And so these are just some of the examples of that we can take a look at that we see as we look at responsibilities and accountabilities. Do we do these things? Surely we all realize God's calling is all-inclusive. And that we also understand that this calling of God is unconditional on our part. What I mean by that is we give up everything. God has asked us to give up everything. That's what is pictured by baptism. We died. We crawled into that watery grave. We died the death with Jesus Christ. We wrote, as it were, a spiritual blank check to God. What do you want to do with me? What do you want to do with me, with this life? Why? Why would we do that? Why would God ask us to do that? Because in order for us to gain everything God intends for us, and He has all kinds of things for us, such as the eternal riches that are involved in that family relationship and that family fellowship with God, both Father and Son, then we need to obviously come to the place that we give up everything that is us in that sense. Because we become what God wants us to become. I don't know about you, but at this time of the year, I think it's a real good thing to remember how we came into this fellowship, how we came into this relationship with God. What was it like? Well, for each one of us, whether we realize it or think about it or have ever thought about it, it began with God inviting us. You can say, well, I was looking for God, and I was doing this, and I was doing this other thing. When we really boil it all down, what it comes down to is God was dealing with us. Because until God starts dealing with us, it's really not going to make any difference. For us to have our part and our doing this and our, it was me. I drove God, and so He had to call me. No, it's not the way it works. It's not the way it works. God's Spirit began to work in our lives. And God's Spirit started convicting us that we had sinned. And God's Spirit was showing us what sin was. What was sin in my life. And then as a result of that, we didn't want to do that anymore. In fact, what we wanted to do was to come into the presence of God. And we knew to be in the presence of God, those things had to go. We had to be delivered out of that. And then comes the days of unleavened bread. Sometimes we've talked about during the days of unleavened bread, and you'll hear this again probably before the days of unleavened bread, and probably during the days of unleavened bread again, you'll probably hear these very same words in some way through me or through someone else that we have stated in times past in our understanding as it was, you know, as it was at the time, at least we thought it was an understanding, that we come out of sin. We do come out of sin because God delivers us out of them. But we don't do the coming out. God delivers us out of those sins. And that's all part of that relationship, and that's all part of that fellowship that we have. That's why we're able to be where we are, and I mean in our Christian walk with God, is because what God was doing. It started with God. And so that's why I asked the question, do we remember how we came into this relationship? Yeah, it started with God. That's how it started. Do we want to be part of that? Oh, absolutely. And so as a result of that, we responded to the Father. We accepted His grace as He granted us repentance. And then we came to baptism. And through that we received the begettal, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit from God. And then according to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, we learned that we are to live by every word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, so shall man live. That's the way it's actually worded back in Deuteronomy. So as we saw ourselves, we recognized, I don't want to be what I am. I want to be something else. And so we started allowing God to work through our lives and putting sin to death. Putting it to death daily. As we recognize this is sin, I don't want it, and we wanted to make room, getting the sin out so we would have more room for Jesus Christ living His life in us. Because they're both not going to occupy the same spot. It's not going to happen. The more sin is there, putting it real blunt, is less of Jesus Christ is in there. The less of sin, the more space Jesus Christ can occupy in our lives. Galatians 2:20, Paul writing and saying, I live, yet not I, but Jesus Christ lives in me. Because he says he's crucified daily. That he puts to death himself daily so that Jesus Christ can live that life in me, in you, in us. And that's what we come to, and that's what we want, that's what we desire. And as a result of this, then we become part of the body of Christ, the called out ones. And then it becomes our responsibility to build up the church. Now, some have believed in times past that that part, that responsibility was simply that of the ministry. Let me clue you in. It's not just the responsibility of the ministry. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4 and let's see this. Yes, maybe the ministry has more of an out front part of responsibility in building up the body of Christ, building up the church of God. But let's see what it says here. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, we begin. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Yes, and so we could say, oh, see, it's the job of the ministry. Well, it is part of the job of the ministry, but that's not all there is. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ, so that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love. Who is speaking the truth in love? We are. All of us. The ministry, yes, but everybody who is part of the body of Jesus Christ. We're all speaking the truth in love. That we may all grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. And we're all doing this. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. Every joint supplies. If it's just the ministry, then the body is only the body of the ministry. Every joint supplies. It's not talking just the ministry. According to the effective working by which every part does its share, every part of the body causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. We all have responsibilities to build up the church of God, the body of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 12. And I'm going to read this out of the NIV. So it is with you. Since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in gifts that build up the church. I like the wording a little bit better. And we need to make no mistake about this, brethren. I am clearly talking about the entire body, not just one simple administration. Because that's not just the body. Wherever that part is, it is part of the body. It's not the whole body itself. Members of the body are interdependent. They rely upon one another like a family. Why? Because we are a family. The body of Jesus Christ is a family. Brethren, people who are in a relationship with God need to know, in other words, they need to realize through experiences, their own experiences and the experiences of others, by looking at the lives of others, they are in a relationship. We need to come to the place that we understand we are in a relationship. And how do we know this? We see it through our life experiences. We can see it through the lives of other church members. We can see it through the lives of other brothers and sisters in Christ. Whether they're with the fellowship where we are or whether they're in a fellowship someplace else. But we realize that we're all in a relationship together. Here are some things for us to consider and for us to realize and to think about. People who are the disciples of Jesus need to know they are disciples. Not everybody is part of the body of Jesus Christ have all been told that. Oh yeah, we're all part of the body, we're all disciples, but it is not meant in the same way that I'm meaning it here. We are all learners together. We are all disciples. Another thing is people who are part of the body of believers need to know they are a vital part of the body. And a question and a half for each one of us, and think about this on an individual basis. Do you have this knowing? Do you really comprehend and have this knowing that you are part of the body of believers? Remember what we're doing here today. We're examining ourselves prior to the Passover and the days of unleavened bread. Where are we? Where are we? In each individual case, it is a mental and emotional, physical and spiritual experience. Because this knowing is real. It's not something you can just read about. It's not something that someone can just tell you about. It's something that is real. It's something that we live toward one another. How we experience our Christian life with one another, with other part of the body of Jesus Christ. We need to know God is working in our lives and that we are part of that body. The life of a believer requires ongoing, focused decisions, commitments, and efforts. It is not something that we take lightly. Let me rephrase this. It is not something that we should be taking lightly. The body of Christ is alive. All in the body of Christ are brethren. And we need to be aware of our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to know one another. We need to get to know one another on a much more probably personal basis. And we need to be aware that God has placed many in the body as it pleases Him. All in that body are governed by and are submitted to the head of the body, the one and only Savior, the Anointed One, the Messiah, who is in turn governed by and who is also submitted Himself to the Father of all of us. Each true believer in the body is going to be seeking God's agenda, not their own agenda. I said that earlier, and I've said all of this to get you down to that point, to restate it in that way. A question that I think is good for each one of us to ask ourselves, is this experience, this knowing, this submission, this respect of and respect for the body, part of our experience with God? Are we experiencing this? I have, at this point, what I would consider some thought-provoking questions for us to consider. Does God want this body turned completely inward, taking care of only itself? Or does God want this body to be laborers, fellow laborers, in a field that is white to harvest? John chapter 4, John 4 and verse 35, John 4 and verse 35. Do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white for harvest. Brethren, the question that we need to be asking ourselves is, are we even looking toward that? And I'm talking about on an individual basis, yes, through the whole structure, but are we looking at that on an individual basis? How can I help? Can I help? Should I be helping? Is it my job or only the job of the ministry? Are we looking to those fields? Yes or no? Or are we only looking inward? Another question, does God intend for the body to have concern for the spiritual state of the entire body? The answer is obviously yes. Well, let me think about it this way, put it this way. What part of your human body do you not have any concern or care for? The answer is, you have concern for the whole body, right? Of course you do. Well, that little toe is not really that important, right? Stub it. Hit it on something and see how important it is. And you get the point. You understand what I'm saying. I get a paper cut, and I basically go ballistic. I mean, you know, that's just something that just really just wipes me out. I mean, you know, like, oh, I got to, all the attention is going to that one little thing. And it's a little thing, right? But it's going to get attention. So as part of the body, should we be paying attention to all of the body? And the answer is, of course we should be. Of course we should be. Another question is, does God want the body to seek His glory, God's glory, or the glory of the body? Well, it's obvious what the answer is. The glory of God. We're to be doing all things to glorify God, to lift up God, to be lifting them up, to focus attention on God the Father and on Jesus Christ and not on self. Does God want the body to approach Him in awe and humility? Of course He does. Because it's not about us. It's about Him. Does God want the body to approach other members of the body with service and support and love? And again, the answer is absolutely. I think the answer is probably obvious. But it is still a good question to think about, especially as we prepare ourselves for the Passover. Where are we as part of the body of Jesus Christ? Where are we fitting within the body of Jesus Christ? Does God intend this body to be allowed to be criticized? What about being harassed or lied about or otherwise oppressed? The answer is, of course not. Is it going to happen? Probably. Is this what God wants? Of course not. And He certainly doesn't want it to come from within the body. We're to be doing things to criticize another part of the body. We're to be lying about or harassing or oppressing another part of the body, of which we're all part of the same one body. Does God want the body to deliberately alienate or distance special parts of itself away from the whole in order to be considered special? To draw attention to itself and to consider itself the most important or the only viable part of the body? I think not. I think not. Brethren, this body of believers, this collective God-begotten family has work to do. Accountabilities and responsibilities to both itself as a whole, to individually the part of each one of the parts of that body to make itself whole and complete and profitable to the whole of the body. Edifying and building up the whole of body. You know, we read that earlier. And even to the world. They may not like the fact that we are Christian, that we're followers of Jesus Christ, but they still should like the way we live our lives. Do they? In our own community, the people who see us, do they see just another human being, or do they see an example of living a godly way of life? They may not know where this way of life you live comes from, but do they see it that, you know, that person and that family, they're a little different than a lot of other people that I come in contact with. And they mean it in a good way. Are we setting that kind of life example as Christians? In a general way, we probably all know what that work entails, right? It entails things such as preaching the gospel. And we would probably all say, yeah, I understand that, and I would agree with that. There are some key commissions that are found in scriptures, while some may be more specific for a particular person or even a specific person. And I mean, like the work of Moses or Paul or even Jesus Christ, maybe even at a specific time. Some of the commissions seem huge, ongoing, global, worldwide. You know, it seems like it's out there, such as the Great Commission. Go you therefore into all the world. Do you have that as a mentality, that part of the body of Christ is doing that or should be doing that, or we're each individually as part of the body doing our part to even to do that, or to do it in a very small way, perhaps, just where we are. Are we seeing that? Are we attempting to do that? There are also some other prophecies that we perceive as charges, such as to feed the flock, to warn Israel, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. And so a question that we would ask ourselves is, are we about our Father's business? Are we trying to do any of these things? How are we trying to do these things? Perhaps some of the body has been living as if the rest of the body does not exist. Not even recognizing them, not even knowing that they are there. A question that each one of us can ask ourselves here is, have any of us experienced that? Probably so. If we haven't experienced any of this, then it's very possible that what it is, we've simply just been too asleep. And so we've not even paid attention to. And that can be a dangerous thing also. We need to wake up. We need to revive ourselves if we haven't been experiencing these things. If you go to sleep, or part of the body goes numb, and we call it, oh, my hand's gone to sleep. What do you do about it? You know, you have this feeling, you know what I'm talking about, you have that feeling like it's being asleep. Well, it needs to come back. You know, you go, oh, I got to get the feeling back in my, you know, in my hand and this part of my body. I know you know what I'm talking about, right? And we all just love that feeling, right? We don't like that feeling. I mean, I don't know anybody that likes that feeling. You know, it's, you know, like, oh, it's gone to sleep. You know, what's wrong? You know, and you shake on and you do all kinds of things. In other words, you want that part of the body to come back to where it is what we call alive, where there is nourishment flowing to that part of the body as if it is flowing to all parts of the body. Isn't that what we really are wanting? And the answer is, of course, it's what we want. And that's what we need to be thinking about as we recognize that we're part of the body of Christ. We want the whole of the body to be nourished, to be taken care of. And each one of us need to be making commitment to make sure that we are not part of any blocking of the flow of nourishment from God to another part of our brothers or sisters in Christ. In other words, as we examine ourselves, are there things that we are doing to hinder the growth of somebody else? That may be a question we may not even be really thinking about. Are we doing something to hinder the growth of another part of the body? We need to think about that. Because everything we do, we read the scriptures, is to be building it up, to nourishing it, right? To feeding the body, not to be hindering it. Sometimes we may have our own pet projects. We may have our own pet theories. We may have our own pet doctrines and all of those kinds of things. And there may be times that there be, you know, that somebody may even have an understanding on something that is contrary to what the status quo is. The status quo may not be exactly 100% the way Scripture is. And somebody else may have a deeper understanding of it. You know, there is a way to present this, and there's a way not to present it. If it's presented in a way that is going to hurt somebody else who's part of the body, is it something we should do? And the answer is no. We wouldn't want to do anything that's going to cause harm to the other part of the body. Am I saying that if there's something that is status quo and it's not really square on, that somebody else has it, that it should just be simply dropped and put on a back burner? No, I'm not even saying that either. I'm saying the way we present it, there's a godly way and there's a not godly way of even doing that. That's not the part of the sermon. I'm just saying it's something that we need to consider. It's an illustration that we can look at. How do we deal with even those kinds of things? I want to mention about our group, the Church of the Sovereign God. We're part of a small corporate group known as Church of the Sovereign God. But more importantly, I want us to understand we are members of the body of Jesus Christ of believers. And that body of believers is not a corporation. We work for God. We work with God. We don't work against God or what God is doing. There may be things that we in our little group here is doing that others may or may not be doing. I'm not making a comparison or even making it a point. I'm just trying to illustrate it in some way. There may be things that we are doing that others may not be doing. And we're looking at it and we say, oh, everybody should be doing this. Maybe everybody shouldn't be doing this because they're not there. Or there may be things that others are doing that we're not doing and we need to be there. We need to be doing those things. But where we are is where we are. I mean, we're here at this point in time, but we are not the whole body of Jesus Christ. But we are part of the body of Jesus Christ. And that's the point that I'm trying just to get him to understand. We are to build where God puts us. Because it's real plain in Scripture, and I can show you the Scriptures and you know these, that some plant and some water, but God is the one who gives the increase. And it is God who puts that increase where He wants it to be placed. In a figurative way, we need to be willing to drop our buckets and to get busy right where we are today in our capacity to work in God's work. Where are we? And I'm not necessarily even meaning within the corporate structures of this particular group. Yes, we are here, and so there are things that we can do, and that's great. But I'm referring to even that in a more larger way. And yes, there are projects and things that we do, and I think those who are part of this and are supportive of this, we need to be involved in doing those things. And so I think there are more that each one of us can be doing, even to be doing it here. And I think that there are things that we should be doing here. We at least need to be diligently laboring in prayer more and more so that God will make it clear where and how we are to plant or to water or to whatever it is that God wants us to be doing. What does God want us to be doing? As we continue to examine ourselves for the Passover, are we doing these things? Are we doing these things? We need to be seeking God's will. We need to be seeking God's face. And we need to be seeking His heart because we need God. We need God in our lives. And as we examine ourselves, is God in our lives to the degree that He could be? Or are there things that we may be doing on an individual basis that is lessening the effectiveness of God in our lives? That's why we examine ourselves. Brother, anything that will stand the test of time and God's judgment must ultimately be built by God and for God's glory. Is everything that you're doing and everything that I'm doing, again, I'm making this very personal, on a personal basis, on an individual basis, glorifying God, yes or no? It should be. It should be. In everything that we do, God should be glorified. God should be glorified. Let me show you an example. Go over here to Romans. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Is this true in our lives? I'm not talking about, is this true in the corporate structure of the Church of the Sovereign God or any of the other groups? I'm not asking that. I'm asking it on a personal, individual basis. Is this scripture alive and well in our lives on an individual basis? By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Is our lives a living sacrifice? Is our life holy unto God? Is our lives and the way we live our Christian life acceptable unto God? That's the question that we have to ask. That's what it really comes down to whenever you really look at a lot of these different things. We can see a lot of different things that shows that the church is to be doing this. Our person is supposed to be, as a Christian, we're to be living this way of life and this way of life, this way of life. This scripture shows us how we'll be living. And then you can blow it up and you can have all kinds of sermons and articles and everything else off of that one verse. But individually, we need to ask ourselves, is this verse true in my life, yes or no? So as we examine ourselves, we need to look at that. Is my life holy unto God? Is my life and the way I live it acceptable unto God? Is my life lived as a living sacrifice? You know, Jesus Christ came and paid the ultimate sacrifice. There's no sacrifice of anything in any way that you can ever come up with that will ever trump that, will ever be bigger than that, will be better than that, that would be more severe, age-lasting than what he did. He was a God being. He emptied himself of being a member of the Godhead, of the family of God in that way, and came in the form of a man. That's humbling enough. But was flesh and bone and blood. And lived this life just as one of his created beings, us, subject unto the same aches and pains and laws and everything. And he humbled himself and did that. And then he lived his life sinless for us. And so he paid the ultimate sacrifice, eternal death, so we wouldn't have to. So we then are to be living our lives as a result of accepting that sacrifice as a living sacrifice. We live the way of life that Jesus Christ lived. And we are to be living our lives wholly acceptable unto God. So I drive the point across again in asking the question, is our life like that? Because see, here's the point. It should be, it can be. Because that's what God tells us to do. So it's not something that can't be done. It is something that we are to be doing. Paul didn't just write these words, you know, it's like, boy, this is a pipe dream. This would be great if we could. No, he's telling them this is the way we're to be living our lives. So I stated to all of us, this is the way we're to be living our lives. A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. That's our reasonable service. That's what would be expected of us. As we continue to prepare for the Passover and to look at ourselves from the godly point of view, the way that God wants us to look at ourselves, let's realize it is time to awaken and it is time for us to begin using the gifts and the talents, whatever they are, that each one of us has that God has blessed us with. Are we doing that? We need to be. So any way you want to word it, we desperately need to be an active part of the body of Jesus Christ, body of believers. So, brethren, let's become that living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And now we read the Aaronic blessing. Speaking to Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. And brethren, God has blessed us as being part of the body of Jesus Christ. Let's accept that. Let's live the way that God wants us to do, holy, acceptable unto him.